From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Edson. It's early in the morning. Kids across America are starting their daily routine getting ready for school.
You got the computer?
Yep.
Is it charged up and ready to go?
Yes.
Since the coronavirus hit, that means getting up, getting dressed, and finding your way to a fast internet connection. For lots of kids, the kitchen table or bedroom has become the classroom. For kids who don't have a broadband connection at home, well, it's a different story.
Hey, sweetie, will you grab my mask?
Virginia Tyree and her daughter Molly are off in search of a Wi-Fi signal. They live a few miles outside of the city of Lynchburg, Virginia.
All right. So, let's see what you got.
Molly is 10 years old. She's a fifth grader in public school.
Go ahead and try to load up.
She's here in her school's parking lot in the rain, trying to get onto the Wi-Fi because no one provides service for reliable high-speed internet at her home.
Is it working okay? What does it say?
This morning, they're crammed into the car. When it's nice out, they set up a car table and folding chairs outside the principal's office. It's the only way Molly can join Zoom classes, watch videos, and try to keep up with schoolwork. Meanwhile, across the country in Oakland, California, a different kid has a similar problem.
Did you comb your hair? Are you hungry?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, so let's do this.
Ava is 9 years old. She's a third grader.
I'm waiting.
Her dad, Alexis, is recording their morning routine.
Well, these computers take forever. 10, 10.
Yeah, it always takes forever.
They don't have broadband at home either. They're using Alexis's cell phone as a hotspot to connect their laptop to the web.
This is very slow, Eva. Are you sure you're not hungry?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Alexis has been out of work from his job as an audio engineer since the pandemic shut down concert venues. So right now, he can't afford to sign a contract to get internet service at home.
Join a meeting, okay.
Join the meeting?
Okay, let me just put the ID in, okay. Connecting. Oh, it started, okay.
There are two main reasons that Americans don't have broadband at home. Either it's too expensive.
We just gotta make sure. Let me make sure my hotspot is on.
Okay.
Or no one has laid the high-speed cables to reach their home.
Make sure you're on the, what did she say, the guest one?
Open.
The open, okay.
Oh, wait, no.
But no matter where you live in America or what situation you're in, if your morning school bell sounds like this, it's gonna be a tough day at school. It wasn't supposed to be this way. The federal government spent billions of dollars over the past decade to close the so-called digital divide. But when the pandemic hit, about one in every eight kids in the United States still didn't have broadband at home. Black and Latinx kids are most likely to be without a connection. This divide was a problem before the coronavirus hit. When it came to homework, kids with high-speed internet access had an edge over those who didn't have it. Now, that homework gap has become a full-blown education gap. Reveal's Will Carlos has been looking into why we are still here.
Back in 2008, President-elect Barack Obama made a promise to America.
It is unacceptable that the United States ranks 15th in the world in broadband adoption. Here in the country that invented the internet, every child should have the chance to get online.
Almost 12 years later, the U.S. isn't 15th in broadband adoption. It's now 18th. Dr. Christopher R. Lee has spent the last few years researching a book about the nationwide effort to close the digital divide.
We are spending a lot of money. We're just not spending it efficiently, and we're not spending it democratically.
Dr. R. Lee is an associate professor in media studies at the University of Virginia.
Well, we've been spending roughly $8 billion a year since 2015. So that would be at least $40 billion plus the USDA controls another billion, and they've been doing that since...
He goes on like this for a while, tallying.
I'd say, you know, upwards of all things being said and done, probably $100 billion that we have spent in the last 20 years trying to connect this country.
The Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, managed a good portion of that money, doling out huge grants to big internet service providers.
We gave a ton of money to the 9 biggest telecommunications companies. Those are companies like AT&T, Frontier, CenturyLink, Windstream. We gave them about $1 billion a year, and we said, go forth and connect America.
The companies laid hundreds of thousands of miles of cable to bring broadband to places that didn't have it. But Dr. Ali says they often didn't do a good job, and they didn't have to, because companies helped write the rules.
This is a colossal failure, and we failed in a number of capacities. So they didn't have to deploy fiber optic connections, for instance. They could just keep rolling out their old school copper networks or old school DSL networks, which were a lot cheaper. So we were giving them billions of dollars to connect rural America with a 1990s era technology. And this was in 2015.
In 2015, CenturyLink and Frontier Communications won government grants to help them build new rural broadband networks. These are two of the nation's biggest internet service providers. Combined, the FCC gave those two companies $3.2 billion over 4 years. But in January, CenturyLink admitted it was failing to meet its contractual deadlines to deploy broadband networks in 23 of the 33 states it was working in. The other company, Frontier, was failing to meet its commitments in 13 states. Last month, Frontier declared bankruptcy amid mountains of debt. Still, both companies are expected to apply for more federal funds. $20 billion will be distributed starting later this year.
Neither Frontier nor CenturyLink have been reprimanded or punished by the FCC in any way, shape, or form for taking billions of dollars from taxpayers and not building the networks they promised.
Gigi Sohn is a lawyer who worked for the FCC under Obama. Now she researches the digital divide and regularly testifies to Congress about what needs to be done to get Americans connected. The FCC claims around 21 million Americans aren't connected to fixed, fast broadband connections. Gigi says that number is closer to 141 million.
The FCC's numbers are grossly inaccurate by their own admission and by the admission of bipartisan members of Congress, because the way they count who has broadband grossly overstates who has broadband.
Who are the people right now in America who are primarily impacted by the digital divide?
The digital divide in America is largely urban, it's largely low income, and it's largely minority communities. And that's for, you know, a number of systemic reasons, discrimination in credit, discrimination in housing.
For about 3 of every 4 families without broadband, the problem isn't infrastructure. There's a connection running to their house, but they haven't connected to it, usually because they can't afford to. That was the case for Shawanda Tyson. She's a single mom who works as a cashier at Walmart. When the coronavirus hit, she and her son had just moved into a new home in Indianapolis.
I just moved in and I'm faced with a lot of other bills. So it was basically like mapping out my bills for the month. That wasn't like something I was planning to pay for immediately.
Shawanda got creative. She and her 5th grade son, Morel, would drive to a daycare that her sister owned.
So basically what I did was pack my son up every day, took him to the daycare, and we sat out in front of the daycare, used the Wi-Fi.
Shawanda's son is autistic, and she didn't want him to fall behind in school.
And we worked in the car for about a couple hours, 3 to 4 hours in the car.
On hot days, it was especially claustrophobic.
It's been rough because it's that my windows don't roll down. I reached a point where I just couldn't take it no more. It was frustrating. Keeping a kid inside of a car for 4 hours, that is like the hardest thing ever to do. It stressed him out, and he was unsure if he was going to pass on to the 6th grade because he wasn't able to do some of his work.
Eventually, Shawanda was able to get internet installed at home. Several broadband providers are offering deals during the coronavirus crisis, and she signed up for a bundle from a company called Spectrum. She gets 2 months of free internet and TV, and after that her bill will balloon to $96 a month. Shawanda doesn't know how she'll afford it.
It's going to be a hardship, another hardship for parents to keep up and maintain. I just wonder how I'm going to survive through the month.
For education, an internet connection is just like what a pencil and a piece of paper was for us when we were in school.
Jessica Gonzalez is CEO of Free Press, one of the leading organizations pushing for universal access to broadband. She'd like to see broadband more strictly regulated by the FCC, with controls over quality of service and even price capping.
We're at the point now where broadband is clearly a utility. We need the internet to do our jobs. Our kids need it now to do their homework and to get their education.
The FCC moved towards regulating broadband more heavily under President Obama, but under President Trump, those policies were reversed. The agency does have two programs aimed at closing the affordability barrier. The most significant is called Lifeline.
It really is the only federal program that's poised to make sure that people do not lose their connections during the coronavirus pandemic.
Lifeline started under President Reagan and was expanded by President Obama. It was originally supposed to get telephones into people's homes, but under Obama, it became the flagship program to get low-income urban communities connected to the internet. Lifeline sends families up to $9.25 a month to put towards their monthly internet bills. Today, that won't get you much. According to one national survey, broadband across most of the country costs more than $50 a month. And the program's under heavy attack from Trump's FCC.
And what the FCC has done with that since Trump took office is to essentially kill the program in a death by a million cuts sort of way.
Lifeline's budget's been cut in half because fewer people are applying for it. Advocates for broadband access say the FCC's made it too complicated and time-consuming to apply. Jessica finds this frustrating.
And I'm frankly disgusted that the FCC has been so focused on cutting down Lifeline and not nearly as interested in holding broadband providers accountable for their waste. It is heartbreaking to see how kids who live in poor neighborhoods are learning in this moment. If we require that every child have a textbook to do their learning in school, then we ought to require that every child be provided with an internet connection.
Much of who does and who does not get access to broadband depends on which party is in power. The FCC is run by a five-person commission. Right now, two are Democrats and the other three were appointed by President Trump, including Chairman Ajit Pai. He declined to talk to us for this story, but Commissioner Brendan Carr, also a Trump appointee, sat for an interview. Commissioner Carr blames the Obama administration for failing to narrow the digital divide. He says the FCC is now back on track.
We had more miles of high-speed internet built out in this country, over 400,000 miles of high-speed internet last year alone. That smashed prior records. That's more fiber than was ever built out under any prior regime. 6.5 million homes were newly passed with fiber last year alone.
A lot of those miles of cable have been installed in rural areas, and even more is coming. In October, right before the election, the FCC will start handing out $20 billion in funding to large companies to expand service in rural areas, areas that substantially overlap with Trump's base. Meanwhile, the far smaller FCC programs that send money to low-income urban areas, the Democratic base, have been cut back. We asked Commissioner Carr why the FCC is still spending more on rural infrastructure when affordability is the bigger problem.
Yeah, right. What I'm saying is that we are working on multiple different fronts. We have our E-Rate program, which budgets roughly $4 billion a year.
E-Rate is an FCC program that provides broadband in schools and libraries.
We have the $20 billion fixed program, and we work directly with carriers as well to support their rollout of new low-income programs. So we are tackling this monumental challenge, both in rural communities and in urban communities alike.
That's $20 billion for new infrastructure versus $1.5 billion for Lifeline. We asked Commissioner Carr about this disparity.
Well, we're spending it in both, and we have to. I mean, these are the two main components of the digital divide.
Another FCC commissioner, Obama appointee Jessica Rosenworcel, has a different take.
Shame on us. We're looking the other way in the middle of this crisis. There's more we can do to connect everyone because this is the infrastructure our future rides on. We've got to connect everyone everywhere.
I asked Commissioner Rosenworcel if Lifeline has the full support of the current FCC.
The answer is no. I think the current FCC has focused almost singularly on rural deployment, and they have not explored how we can use the tools from Lifeline and E-Rate to help solve the adoption component.
And is the FCC doing anything to expand during the biggest economic, education access, and health crisis in decades?
The agency has taken baby steps. I think this crisis, it's clearly time to do something big and bold. And there's a lot more we can do with programs like Lifeline and E-Rate to reach some of the most vulnerable folks in this country.
In recent weeks, Speaker Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats passed the HEROES Act.
We must honor our heroes in the coronavirus crisis with support, not just words. We must address the pain of families who have lost their jobs through no fault of their own.
Congress set aside $13 billion back in March for schools to help students with things like Wi-Fi hotspots. The HEROES Act would take that a step further, authorizing additional money for schools, plus another $4 billion going directly to low-income families to pay for home internet, up to $50 a month. Meanwhile, for internet service providers, business is booming. In its first quarter this year, Comcast gained more than 500,000 new broadband customers. Charter Communications signed up nearly 600,000, many of them lured in by a promotion of 2 free months before the full charges kick in. That's just like the deal Shawanda Tyson signed up for after she and her son Morel grew tired of homeschooling inside her mid-sized sedan.
Yeah, it comes down to affordability. You choose between putting food on your kids' plate or educating them, because you want to give your children the best education possible. And internet in a home should not be a stipulation. If that's the way we have to teach our children and the way they have to learn, then we shouldn't have to go to bed worrying about how we're going to pay that bill that is due.
Even if the $50 a month broadband benefit in the HEROES Act gets signed into law, that would still only cover about half Shawanda's bill and the bills of millions of Americans like her, stuck on the wrong side of the digital divide.
That's Reveal's Will Carlos. Our story was produced by Michael I. Schiller. With schools closing across the country, students are under enormous pressure.
And now it's just like, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Can I even read anymore? Can I even write an essay? I'm like, what is wrong with me?
Passing in the pandemic. That's next on Reveal.
Support for Reveal comes from LegalZoom, allowing people to remotely set up documents like wills and trusts. LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys can also provide guidance over the phone. More on estate plans is at LegalZoom.com. And by Progressive Insurance, offering a way to buy home insurance with their Home Quote Explorer tool. Custom quotes and rates are available online. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Now that's Progressive.